Part 3. The Road to Eternity. Chapter 11. A Rose Watered with Blood. Lotara. She didn't sleep anymore. In the hours assigned to rest, she wandered the corridors of the Conqueror, listening to the ship's metal bones creak as they bent to the warp's slow whim. Screams echoed down the hallways, as did laughter that sounded like screaming. She used to assign squads of world-eaters to hunt down the sources of those sounds, but that habit had disintegrated like so many other elements of basic military efficiency. The only world-eaters left aboard the flagship were the ones too blood-mad to make it down to Terra. They were just as likely to be responsible for those screams as they were to destroy whatever was causing them. Lotara moved slowly, frail as an old woman. Dehydration and starvation leached her strength, and she was acutely aware that the feeling of broken glass in her joints wasn't a green light, medically speaking. Even so, she moved through her ship with a fearless air for whatever lay around each corner. The world-eaters watched her pass and took no further notice of her. The human crew wisely avoided her glare, and these days she had no orders to give them anyway. The fleet's duty consisted now of hanging in low orbit above Terra and firing whenever and wherever the War Master's equerry, Argonis, commanded. That required only a skeleton crew, a few thousand souls at most, and most of those were slaves and thralls in the gunnery decks. Today she wanted answers. She was going right to the top to get them. Lotara made her way to her personal chambers. The door refused to register her palm print in yet another system failure aboard the ship. These days she couldn't keep track of them all. After several attempts, the reinforced door rumbled open of its own volition. She doubted the sensor had even acknowledged her. It seemed more like the fickle whim of the Conqueror's machine spirit. Iron groaned all around as if mimicking the captain's irritation, a deep core protest at the external abuse. The warp mist encircling Terra wasn't gentle with the War Master's fleet. It was a rough anchorage that strained the hull of each warship. The lights aboard the Conqueror had been dulled to emergency red for weeks with all the power fluctuations, but now even the crimson of crisis lighting flickered as it threatened to give up.
"All together," she breathed to her ship. "We've been through worse, haven't we?"
This lie no longer helped, but she found herself saying it anyway. The captain's quarters exemplified the Conqueror's brutalism. A chamber of grey edges and panel slabs with an armoured window overlooking the ship's crenellated spine. When she'd first claimed the cabin with her promotion all those years ago, Khan had been the one to escort her there. He was waiting for her there now, with his back to the view of Horus's armada.
"You have no manners whatsoever," she told him. "These are my private quarters."
It was supposed to be a jest between soldiers that had served together for years, but it came out as a parched murmur that barely reached her own ears. Khan either didn't hear or didn't care to answer. He turned away from her, looking past the fleet at the choked sphere of Terra. Around the cradle of mankind, the warp's poison tides had replaced the night sky. Khan had been silent since returning to the ship. The scarred mess of his features scarcely showed any expression, only the occasional twitch as the nails bit. And it still felt wrong, seeing him without his axe. Lotara's vision swam as she stared at him, and everything reddened, everything darkened. Where Khan stood, a cluster of meat hooks hung from the ceiling on a spider's lair's worth of chains. Dead world-eaters, exsanguinated in ritual execution, hung suspended there, just dead meat in powerless ceramite, their heads taken and their skulls offered. She closed her eyes against the venom of her own imagination and slapped herself twice. It helped a little.
"Are you staying for this?"
she asked the figure by the window.
"If you are, keep out of the way.
Khan turned to regard the hololithic projector against the wall. As he moved, Lotara could see the grievous damage to his armor, inflicted by bolts and blades. His breastplate was a cracked ruin, revealing the sundered flesh beneath. She could see the burst, clenched meat of one lung. As she stared at him, she heard the gentle rattle of chains moving in the breeze of the chamber's air filtration. She couldn't remember exactly when he'd returned to the ship, only that one day she'd looked around the bridge, and there he was, at his station.
"You are lucky to have survived," she told him.
Khan tilted his head, the way he always did when he sought the right words. Lotara felt tears on her face, real tears, which was impossible. She hadn't wept real tears since she was an adolescent in the Zerskan Academy for Gifted Youth, on the day she received the notification that her brother had died in the cholera outbreak ravaging the capital.
"But you didn't survive, did you?"
A year ago, the question would have been madness. Now she truly wasn't sure of the answer. She knew only that she was too tired to be afraid. His only reply was to turn back to the window, facing the dying world in its kaleidoscopic sky. Lotara felt blood dripping from her nose. It hurt to look at Khan for too long. It always made her bleed, and her blood came out unpleasantly thick. The hololithic terminal gave a white noise connection screech, and she turned to it, leaning her fists on the control panel for support. She was shaking all over, and she wasn't sure why.
"Conqueror," crackled a voice over the vox.
"This is the Vengeful Spirit. Secure channel established. You may speak."
"This is Sarin."
Lotara willed her voice back to its original strength.
"Link your holo, please."
The projector clicked and spurted out a flickering image, aggrieved by distortion. It was one of the Astartes, the colour of his warplate bleached by the hololith, but the talismans and spines on his armour detailed his allegiance without doubt. Lotara's heart sank.
"I hunted the War Master," she said. "I used my Ultima clearance. With all due respect, I'm tired of seeing your face with every report, Argonis."
Kynor Argonis, equerry to the War Master, inclined his head in sympathy.
"I speak with the voice of Horus Lupercal, from his lips to your ears."
Lotara fought not to grind her teeth. It felt good to be angry again. It felt cleansing.
"If it's coming out of your mouth, it's not the War Master's voice, is it?"
Argonis stiffened. It was obvious even through the wretched quality of the hollow. Lotara was walking a fine line between her authority on paper and the hierarchy of reality. She was one of the highest-ranking officers in the Armada, and she had every right to speak with the War Master. But she was also human. It was becoming evident to her this was a legion war, a confrontation between demigods. Increasingly, Lotara felt as though she and her kind were just so much chaff and chattel to the legionaries. This discussion wasn't disabusing her of the notion. As she watched him, Argonis silenced the audio channel and conversed with at least one unseen crew member. It was her considered opinion that the equerry's diplomatic skills had eroded significantly in recent months.
"Captain Sarin," he said at last. "A pleasure, as always.
Please elaborate, equerry."
But he didn't. His hololith blinked out of existence with a spurt of static. Lotara stared in silence. Had Argonis really played the most cringeworthy card in his deck? Had he really severed their private channel just to avoid a conversation?
"Son of a bitch," Lotara said with almost unreal politeness.
It was the most she'd felt like herself in months.
"You childish Astartes bastard!"
The hololith flared back into life towards the end of her curse. It wasn't Argonis this time. The figure was enthroned upon white ceramite and twisted metal, slouching with wounded majesty. His eyes were sunken and edged with lines of pain, bright with fever rather than awareness. Metal talons the length of swords drummed on the armrest of the throne with a click, click, click audible across the vox. The ghoul, wearing the War Master's armor, stared at her with a sort of fevered, confused intensity. Then he smiled, and he was Horus Lupercal once again. The pain fell away from his beautiful features.
"I trust you weren't addressing me," he asked.
Lotara saluted, fist against her heart.
"My War Master, I was speaking to your equerry. He has been something of an irritant."
Horus waved a hand, gesturing his acknowledgement, but for a long moment he said nothing more. Lotara heard her name murmured out of sight. By Argonis, she was sure. Horus smiled again.
"Captain Sarin. Captain Lotara Sarin of the warship Conqueror. I trust all is well. How may I be of service?"
"War Master Lupercal,"
Horus interrupted her.
"The rose watered with blood."
Lotara's jaw tightened.
"It surprises me that you're aware of that poem, War Master."
Horus ran his gloved hand over his shaven head, as relaxed as a demigod could be in casual conversation.
"By the saga poet Eurykides Tematos, was it not? Whatever happened to him, Captain Sarin?"
Tematos had died with the rest of the remembrances aboard the Conqueror when Angron had given the order to end their theatrics once and for all. As far as Lotara was concerned, nothing of value was lost on that day.
"Khan killed him, Lord,
and took great pleasure in doing so.
I only regret that we couldn't kill the poem, too."
Horus chuckled.
"Indeed, indeed.
War Master, if I may ask..."
she began. But Horus interrupted her again, his smile becoming a grin.
"And worshipful foes, awarded medals carved upon flesh, in scars of shrapnel and sourceless fire, this flock, her flock, unburied, within great drifting tombs of silent enemy iron, a queenly shadow cast against the dappled theatre of eternal fusion, across the tide of our voiceless ocean, and here, enshrined in this royal steel, we carve her invocation."
Lotara watched him, the Emperor's own son, War Master of the Imperium, as he recited the final lines of the poem written in tribute to her. It was bad enough to endure when courtiers across the Imperium had lapped up that insipid verse like the fops they were, burying their faces in the trough of literary propaganda and insisting they were dining on high art. But to hear it in the War Master's deep and kindly tone was almost too much to bear. She wasn't sure if he was mocking her with the recital. She wasn't sure she wanted to know.
"War Master, I wish to speak of supplying the fleet. With the ash thinning out, we can harvest more resources from the surface. My crew is starving, dying of thirst.
She could see Horus wasn't listening. His lockjaw grin had faded, and with cold assurance the War Master gestured with the great talon.
"Malachurst, attend me."
Lotara held her tongue. Malachurst was long dead. Argonis entered the picture instead. He leaned down, speaking at Horus's ear. She couldn't follow any of this. It was a fight not to let her discomfort show in front of the fey ghoul that the War Master had become.
"I am weary, Captain Sarin."
Horus's voice was bereft of emotion, practically bereft of life.
"As are you, I imagine." "Yes. We all are, aren't we? But our triumph is close. It is so close. This I promise you."
"War Master, please."
She trailed off that time. She didn't like how he was looking at her, the sudden fervency in his sickened eyes.
"You don't even realize, do you?"
"Realize what, Lord?"
"That you're not her. You're not Lotara Sarin."
Before she could muster the breath for a reply, not that she had any idea what to say, it was over anyway. The signal was severed. Horus was gone.